Listening Library presents Want by Cindy Pawn. Read for you by Roger Yeh. For Melinda Lowe, who told me from the beginning that everyone loves a bad boy who plays with knives. Taipei in an alternate near future. May, without. Yo, to have. Chapter 1. The Kidnapping. I watched the two Yo girls from the corner of my eye as the crowd surged around me. 11 o'clock on a balmy June evening, and the Shilin night market in Taipei was spilling over with May shoppers looking for a way to cool themselves. Stores lined both sides of the narrow street, and music blared in Mandarin, Taiwanese, and English. The road was closed to traffic, overtaken by vendors with carts selling noodles and oyster omelets, cold juices and shakes. Others spread their merchandise on the ground over blankets, hawking cheap toys and knickknacks. I slouched lower on the plastic table, faded black boots planted on a stool beneath, taking in the stench of cigarette smoke, stale beer, and sweat. I flipped my butterfly knife rhythmically between my fingers, enjoying the feel of cold steel and the sound of blade and handle snapping in my hand. Men glanced at me warily, touching the places where they hid their own weapons. Girls clustered closer as they edged past, chattering. One May girl, barely 15, raised her coal-smudged eyes from her heap of twa bing, smothered in red beans, and smiled at me, electric blue bangs brushing against her lashes. Most teens were maskless tonight, wanting to have fun and pretend that they led lives from some other era, when going bareface was normal, pretend that they breathed good air. The May girl's friend elbowed her and loudly uttered something about delinquent May boys hiding their faces behind face masks. She cast a pointed glare in my direction. They sashayed past, legs bare beneath short, ruffled skirts, the friend with her nose in the air. Smiling girl's pink mouth was now pursed in a pout. "Hey!" I called. She half-turned, careful not to spill her iced dessert. Her black brows were raised, widening her dark eyes. I winked at her, spitting my knife, then tossed it in the air before catching it in one swift motion. She blushed, and her giggle carried to me even as her friend tugged her away, disappearing into the throngs. But I never lost sight of the two Yo girls bent over a round tub, trying to toss plastic balls into floating dishes. The prize was a koi, genetically engineered to never grow beyond 2 inches, in iridescent oranges, reds, and greens. Hell, they probably glowed in the dark. The girls were flanked by 3 bodyguards, beefy May boys with muscular arms crossed against their bulging chests. I had volunteered to do this, because if I were caught, I alone would be prosecuted. I would be the only one to be put to death. My friends would be safe. They all had family or someone who loved them. I was the dispensable one, and I would give my life to protect them. A Yo boy strutted toward the girls, his features obscured by his glass helmet from this distance. We called them bowlheads in derision, as their helmets looked like fish bowls. His sleek suit was black, with an indigo dragon breathing orange flames woven down one long sleeve. The suit ensured that he got the best oxygen available, that his temperature was regulated, that he was always plugged into the Yo communication system. The taller girl in the white and silver suit ignored him, intent on winning a koi in a jar, but her petite friend nodded to the bodyguards, and the Yo boy swaggered through. I snorted under my breath. They chatted, probably pulling up info on their comsys, assessing weight, height, and genetic makeup even as they exchanged first names. This was what it meant to be Yo, to have. To be genetically cultivated as a perfect human specimen before birth, vaccinated and fortified, calibrated and optimized. To have an endless database of information instantly retrievable within a second of thinking the query and displayed in helmet. To have the best air, food, and water, ensuring the longest possible lifespans as the world went to rot around them. Me? I'm like the other 95% of the maze in this country. Without. We want and are left wanting. I'd be lucky if I lived to 40. I'm almost halfway there. The Yo boy fiddled with his collar, then took his helmet off, handing it to one of the bodyguards with studied nonchalance. He coughed for a long time into his sleeve, attempting to adjust to the filth we breathed every day. What a rebel. Without his helmet, I got a better look at him. His blonde hair was chin-length, streaked and red, his features Asian. He looked about 17. He pulled a cigarette from a sleeve pocket and lit it, inhaling deeply, tilting his head to blow the smoke out. He leaned toward the petite Yo girl, his expression flirtatious. I watched as a taller girl threw them a glance, then turned back toward the tub. She was broad-shouldered yet slender, her suit decorated in neon pink lines with a jeweled Hello Kitty sewn above her heart. Real gemstones, no doubt. The way she tensed her shoulders told me she wasn't pleased by the Yo boy's intrusion. I'd been studying the suits for my task. Victor had gotten his hands on all the relevant info. "You don't want the more square helmets," he had said, showing me images on the screen. "That's an older model from 2 years ago. Any embellishment like jewels would be real. Nothing but the best for gin suits. So the shinier the suit, the richer the Yo." Although the shorter girl's purple suit was more eye-catching, the taller girl had probably $100,000 worth of diamonds stitched to her chest. I tucked the knife away and retrieved two small items from a pouch strapped to my side. I wore a sleeveless black tee and black jeans to match. Not only did I blend in, but it allowed me to move with ease. I jumped off the table and stretched my arms overhead, flexing my shoulders. Now or never. I cut a quick path through the crowds, moving diagonally, thumping into others as I scurried out of my way. Steam rose from the pot of the cho tofu vendor, stirring her spicy broth, and my eyes watered from the scent. I was behind the bodyguards within a minute. Their massive backs blocked me from my target. I tapped the middle one on his shoulder. He twisted, fists clenched. "Move," I said. "What?" I cocked my elbow and punched him hard in the nose, breaking it. The oaf roared, covering his face as blood spurted. I barreled past him and slammed into the Yo boy, who was gaping, bug-eyed. The other two bodyguards swiped at me with clumsy hands. I leaped out of the way, but not before one of them managed to grab my mask, pulling it off so it hung at my neck. No matter. Grinning at him, I smashed the vial I held to the ground. Noxious smoke billowed around us. The bodyguards and boy dropped like sacks of rice within 5 seconds. Bet that Yo boy would regret taking off his helmet tomorrow morning. The petite girl screamed shrilly beside me as passersby shouted, but everyone steered clear of the fumes. I lunged for the tall girl, pulling her tight to my chest, and plunged the syringe into her hand, the only exposed part of her body. The needle hissed as it dispensed the sleep spell drug. She sank against me and I hefted her over my shoulder, dashing into the dark alley behind us, finally allowing myself to take a breath when I cleared the smoke. She wasn't heavy, but all cumbersome limbs. "Hey, you!" a man shouted, his running footsteps echoing behind me. I cursed and spun around the corner into a black alley. My pursuer followed immediately. I stuck out my foot and he tripped over it, thumping hard onto the uneven pavement. I ran without looking back, gripping the girl tightly by her legs. The street's layout etched to my mind. The distant din of the night market reached me, accompanied by the shriek of police sirens as they inched their way through the crowds. No one followed. I burst onto the main street at the far end of the market, hailing a taxi. It screeched to a stop, spewing foul exhaust. I slipped my mask back on before yanking open the door. "Take me to the end of the bus line," I said. The driver nodded, raising an eyebrow as I gently lay my hostage on the back seat. "She drank too much," I muttered. "I tried to warn her." He flicked a cigarette butt out the window before merging back into traffic. "Those Yo girls have everything, but they always want more." I stared out the open window as the driver zipped through the streets with expertise, honking at pedestrians and mopeds alike. "You were bodyguard?" he asked, catching my eye in the rearview mirror. I shook my head. "Ah, her boy toy, then," he grinned. "Whatever pays the bills, right?" Right. My friends and I decided the best way to gain info on Gin Corp was to get suited, infiltrating the Yos by becoming one of them. Victor was perfect for the task. With his charm and good looks, he'd fit right in. But we needed funding. And who better to fund us than...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?